I'm going to read to us from John 10 before I preached. John 10, 1 to 18, if you have your Bible or you can follow on the screen. And after you read your Bible, keep it open for you if you can, or it will be always on the screen. John 10, 1 to 18. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to him, to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand, and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them out also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, as we turn to your word to think about it and to share from it, I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to us, Lord God, what you have to say to us today, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to enable us in listening and in speaking. And Lord, and we just want to commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You have heard this phrase, Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. And the Bible says it's a figure of his speech. So is Jesus, when we hear something about the shepherd, we think, what is Jesus saying here? Likening himself to a shepherd. So today we want to look at this, one of the great I am sayings of Jesus himself. And saying, I am the good shepherd. I'd like to lead us in three steps. The first things we want to look at what it is in Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. And then we see also Jesus saying, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then the good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep knows him. So we need to think about these three things today. There are a lot to look into, but today I want to bring out this aspect. What is Jesus really saying. And we know in our days today, people are struggling. People are following wrong leaders. People are espousing wrong philosophies. People are wandering away after perfections in the wrong places. And we have seen Jesus here also, like in his days. Also, he was speaking against backgrounds. You know, Jesus was struggling with the leaders of the temple that time. Jesus was challenging them, because in chapter 9, because that is the transition, Jesus had only healed a blind man. And yet the leaders of the temple, the Pharisees, they gave this man a hard time. Who healed you? Should you dare to be healed? So they gave him a hard time, and they ended up really excommunicating him. He was put out of synagogue. He was not a member of the church. They put him aside because he interacted with the right leader, the leader who came from heaven who was able to do what these leaders could never have done. In our days today also, we try to find rest through yoga. We try to go to gym a lot, sauna, spa, just to feel good, you see, or even to look good. We consult stars, and so just to have peace and tranquility. We try everything, therapies and seeing psychologists, counseling, everything, just to be good mentally, physically, and in every way. But Jesus, he is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. What does that mean, to be the good shepherd? Good. So the word good is a very difficult word, isn't it? So you say, how are you going today? Good. So people would say that. Good. You see, oh, good clothes, good car, good thing, everything good, you see? But when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, that means he is like no other. He is the only, is nobility worthy, the worthy shepherd, the one, the only shepherd to look to, because he will explain why he is good against other ones. And actually, he said earlier, from 1 to 5, he said he is the door to the sheep pens. He is the door himself. He is the gate to access the presence of God. He himself is the gate. And those who come, this is what he says. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pens by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and lead them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. And then he says, I am the gate for the sheep, all who have ever come. So to enter through Jesus, you enter into the right place. Those who have come before him, he was referring to the leaders of Israel. They were not the good leaders. They were robbers. And then we look the context of Ezekiel 34. Those leaders, they were not good at all in Ezekiel 34. They were not. And Jesus picking up that picture, and he's saying he is the promised shepherd in Ezekiel 34. He is the promised shepherd. Because the shepherd of Israel, they didn't do good to the sheep. But he is the one who is coming. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. When the other leaders didn't do that, when the shepherds didn't do that, but he is the shepherd who is going to do good to his sheep. I am the good shepherd. And there is no one like him. And why there is no one like him? Why there is no one like Jesus? I am the only true shepherd. And he was declaring this thing in the hearing of the leadership of Israel. And now also, not just only the good shepherd. When he says, I am, also he is, this is what makes his office as a good shepherd so unique. Because he says, I am. And I am really captures also Exodus 3. When God himself is speaking to Moses and telling him that I am who I am. And I will be with you as you go to the people of Israel. And as you go, I will make my presence with you. I am. And now Jesus is speaking up this very concept to declare that he is the divine shepherd. He is the divine shepherd himself. I am. This is not just an ordinary I am, like I would say, I am lamb. Jesus, when he says, I am, these words means I am divine. I am the I am of the Old Testament. And I'm coming to fulfill all that my Father in heaven has declared for his sheep. Because the people of Israel are known in the Bible, through the Bible, numerous texts which talks about God as a shepherd of his people. And he calls his people the sheep of his pasture. And now Jesus picking this up, and that actually was challenging to the people, to the leaders of his time, because they could understand this language completely. Why Jesus is claiming this to himself? So he's Savior, divine shepherd, divine, and Jesus now, he links this to himself. You could see why he's worthy, why he is the good shepherd. Because he is God himself. You know, I want to just share with you, just to, for interest, to share with you a story I heard. There was a man, a doctor, a medical doctor, who was a missionary to Pakistan. His name was Colin. I think he was a New Zealander. He was in London, and then he spent a lot of time with the Interserv in Pakistan. So this man, he went and he was speaking to a sheikh with his disciples, and they were debating. And so this man, he was sitting in a chair, and then his disciple were behind him. And so Colin started to talk. And so they said to Colin, you don't wash your hands, Christians, when you pray or do anything. We wash 5 times a day. And then Colin said to him, oh, that is okay, that is good. But how about if God himself washes you? And his disciples say, oh yeah. And then the master, he just warned them. He said, oh, you stop. Don't be excited. And so, because this is what they do themselves. But how about if it's God himself coming and leading his people and coming and tending you? That is what we are, actually. We shouldn't be speaking in terms that are so removed from us. That is what we are experiencing right now. That is what Jesus is to us, the good shepherd. God coming into the midst of his people, becoming their sheep, their shepherd. And we becoming sheep, unless you don't want to be a sheep. Because in our modern days, no one would like to be likened to a sheep. But actually, it's a bad news for you if you don't see yourself in this way. Because this is leading me to say to you, Jesus is good like no other, because he says, I die. The good shepherd dies to secure something good for his people. To secure for them a salvation which could be secure in no other way. Salvation that the good shepherd offered by his death, no one could ever done it. No one could ever bring you to God like what Jesus has done. That is, you know, there are a lot of religions. Even I heard that some Christian, like they convert to Muslim or to Islam or even to Buddhism and Hinduism. How can you do this? To give you one story. One day I was just like in a public transport. You see that, I think that was in Khartoum in 2010. And someone said to me, are you a Muslim? I said, no, I'm a Christian. Alhamdulillah, thank God for that. And he said, oh, you have to become a Muslim. I said, oh, actually, this is like a million steps back. That was what I said, just like, blank like that. It's just like a million steps back. So how can someone who has interacted with this shepherd would want to convert to something else? Because what this shepherd has done, he lays down his life for the sheep, unlike the robbers, unlike the thieves, unlike those leaders, unlike those shepherds who were not able to risk. Because being a shepherd, people think like it's an easy job, isn't it? Having a lamb on your lamb, you see, and just like perhaps in modern days, you have a car and then you run ahead. It's not like that. It's risky. Because actually you come and you rescue the sheep. This is what Jesus is giving us here. He says, actually, I'm giving my life as a sacrifice for my sheep. And this, he has a sheep, two things for us in his death. First, Christ died for us, and his death is selfless death, is a sacrificial, and to secure for us one, redemption, two, reconciliation with God. Redemption, he shed his own blood to appease God's wrath, to buy us back, to buy us back. He died as a ransom in our place. This is how the good shepherd risked his life. Because the work he is about to do, he's doing the work that he has done, is to achieve these very goals that God has planned in advance for us. So to reconcile us, to redeem us, to buy us back, and also to reconcile us with God. You know, the power of reconciliation is amazing. The cross of Jesus we speak of today, the good shepherd laying down his life on the cross. Really, this message is so simple, isn't it? Because as I preach now, you may expect me to have like horns or to be different or to come with utterances that are mysterious. No. These are simple words. And these simple words, they bring people to salvation because this is truth. I'll tell you another history. One day I was traveling. Someone said to me, you've got a lot of histories from Egypt, isn't it? Well, that was when all things began, you know. That was where really I met the good shepherd. That was where I was truly convinced that Jesus is the good shepherd. And I was able to pick up that message and I shared it with others and they were coming to salvation. One day I was traveling in a train. And then, you know, long time ago, we used to have these small tickets, isn't it? And then we pass them when we enter and when we come out. So it was just like not very late in Egypt, really. It's not late when it is 10:30. It's not late at all. And so as I finished the journey, people were just going, passing on. There was just a pay phone. I just decided to speak to my sister in another state. And then I put in the coin and I started to talk. And then this gentleman, he wanted to talk to me while I was talking, speaking on phone. And I said to him, could you wait, please? I was dressed up. And he waited, and everybody gone. And then when I finished and I came, I said, what can I do for you? And he said to me, I want to ask you a question. As we were passing our tickets, and I said, what is your question? And he said to me, why Christian kill Muslims? That was his question. And I said, can you repeat that again? Just like something God is doing to invite him more into a conversation. And he repeated it again. And then quickly, you see, what you do quickly is to send an arrow prayer. Just like that. You ask God for help. How can you do these things? You need to research. You need to research and come with ready answers, you know? Apologetics. No. And then suddenly I started to speak to him. I said to him, look, whoever kills, whether he's a Christian or a Muslim, he doesn't know God. That was what I said to him. And then I followed telling him that, look, the things that you are watching are not true. Just telling me that perhaps in the process of radicalization, they would be shown a movie where there is killing involved. See? And then they will be told that, look, see, the Christians are killing Muslims, your brothers. And they become really enraged and become radicalized. And when I said this to him, as if I put cold water in his head, and he said to me, I am a grown-up person. I can discern. I said to him, these things are hard to discern. Come with me. Now this is the journey to to talk to him about the good shepherd. I said to him, look, on the cross of Jesus, God the Father was reconciling us with him, with himself in the vertical. And on the other side, the horizontal, God was reconciling us with one another. That is why there shouldn't be like trouble between believers, Christians. Because the cross was meant to reconcile us with God and to reconcile us with others. Because if we don't forgive others, we will not be forgiven. And when I said this to this man, I said, is there any killing in the cross of Jesus? And he said, no. Umin bilmesi, I believe in Christ. And then from there, I don't know what happened, verse after verse, and this man was on his knees falling down as the risen Savior, the good shepherd, was demonstrating the power of his death on the cross of Calvary, that he died, he laid his life for the sheep that he talks about, that he is going to bring to himself. And this man was falling on his knees, worshiping God of heavens, the God of Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. Umin bilmesiye, I believe in Christ, because he laid down his life for the sheep, to forgive them, to redeem them, to reconcile them with God, and to have their sins removed. This is the sacrifice that Jesus has given. He sacrificed his death. He died as a lamb, a dying lamb, sacrificing his life to achieve for us this reconciliation that Peter speaks of in 1 Peter 3:18. Our sin must be dealt with. Our sins that separates us from God. And Jesus had to lay down his life to rescue us. And also Jesus had to die on the cross of Calvary so that we have access to God. We have the forgiveness. This is what Jesus said. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then we know that Jesus also, he didn't do this reluctantly. He did it willingly. This is what he said. On his own accord. This is what he says. He said he laid down his life on his own accord. He got the authority to lay down. Because his Father loved him. And he loved his Father. And so he got the power to lay down his life. And out of love for the sheep. No one takes it from me. Because the religious leaders of his time, they thought they were killing Jesus themselves. But they didn't know that they were acting in ignorance. They were acting in ignorance of God's plans. Out of their sins, and also yet God, who was sovereign, was overseeing, seeing the redemption of his people. So he says this, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, but Jesus owned the sheep. He came for his sheep. And now Jesus also says this. He says, this is, if I can do just a short application for the first two. You know, the first part, Jesus being the good shepherd, laying down his life, a sheep for our salvation. You can confess your sin to Jesus if you are not a believer. And if you are a believer, this is what really happens to you. You know for sure that you have been saved. You know that you have changed. Your language has changed. Your attitude has changed. Your thinking has changed. Your friends have changed completely, once and for all. The one who are still in the world, you may still like them, but they are not your friends anymore. Your desires, your future has changed completely. What you want to do with your life has changed completely. What you want to do with your money, with your family, with everything. And that is why Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This is the result. Jesus will come, and when he saves you, he knows you. Because he searched you, he spoke to you, you heard his voice. And now he says, you know him too. You know what he likes and what he doesn't like. You know when he is calling you. Because there will be wolves, there will be other voices that will come. But you, having been saved, having come to the sheep of the shepherd, you will know your shepherd completely. You will know his voice when the wolves are coming. And today in our days, the worst things we are facing is the bombardments against our minds. Other shepherds are speaking to us that things will be better this way. Or if you have gone that into that place, you will be better. You can hear that. Or if you change your job, or you change your leaders, and then you will be happy. So, or if you fall into this sin, you will be fine. You will enjoy it. You will be safe. No, Jesus says, you hear my voice and all that I will say to you. Don't go that way. Because the wolf are coming, are speaking to you. You need to know the voice of your master. You need to know what he is saying to you in your life as a believer. That is why he says, my sheep know my voice. You need to know his voice. You need to know his voice. This is the evidence that you have come to salvation. You have come to know the good shepherd. You need to know his voice. How do you know his voice? Some people say, do you hear a voice? Yes, you can hear a voice, but perhaps not always. Then how can you hear his voice, the good shepherd? You know, the Bible here for us is a good place to go. You know, 3 days ago, I was just like standing in my kitchen, I think on my day off, and I was like trying to pray, and there was resistance to my prayer. I was just like trying harder, and I couldn't just go anywhere. You see, and then I decided like, well, look, I will have different strategies to overcome. You see? And then what I started just to cry out to Jesus, help me, Lord, help me to come out of this. What is just really attacking me and causing me unable even to open my mouth to pray. And then he reminded me of the scriptures. You see, what is the scripture? It's Hebrews chapter 1. What it says, Hebrews chapter 1 says this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets many times and in various ways. In the past, God spoke to us through prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. He has spoken to us by his son. And Jesus is still speaking to this day. And when I heard that, I said, okay, what is my job? I'm a preacher, isn't it? I have to share the gospel with others. But now, if the enemy is trying to shut me up, that is the enemy. And I know I have been called to speak because Jesus is speaking. The good shepherd is speaking to his sheep. So he's speaking to us through his word. He's speaking to us also through different means. But he is the one who's speaking. And his voice is the only voice that can help us in our troubles. My sheep knows my voice. Because he knows us. He knows that we are going through this. He knows us that we are facing challenges. He knows that we can be tempted to fall away. He knows that we can be confused. He knows that we can be defeated. But he wants us to hear his voice. And because he's a good shepherd, he will not let you go. He will not leave you to the wolf. He is not like the hired man. He will not run away from us. That is why he's a good shepherd. He sticks with us. He saved us after all, and he leads us. He is ahead before us all the time. He's speaking to us, encouraging us to walk, because that is who he is. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Is Christ is your good shepherd? Is good? Is he good to you? Has he saved you? Have you experienced his goodness, his uniqueness in the way he came from heaven, the great I am, and to bestow upon you a salvation and to forgive your sins and to set you free and to make you his own? And he says this knowledge is not like any other knowledge. You see? This is good news here. This knowledge, when he says that my sheep knows my voice and I know them, he gave us an analogy, isn't it? What is that analogy Jesus uses here? He says this. He says, just as the Father knows me, just as the Father knows me, his Father knows him. And how is that knowledge? He knows that he is the obedient son of mine, the beloved son, the only. And God himself from heavens, when Jesus was coming out of the water, being baptized by John the Baptist, he said, "Behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm delighted, or I'm well pleased." God himself, he knew that his son, Jesus Christ, is the obedient son. He knows him inside out. He knows that he will finish the work that for which he has sent him. He knows that he will be the good shepherd as for his people. Because that was God's heart to save his people. Because he's God who has made this covenant with his own people. He wants to make, he knows his son, that he will finish this job. And that is why Jesus said, this is the knowledge that he wants. He says, my sheep knows me, that I will be good to them. They know that I will not leave them, not forsake them. I will sprinkle my blood on them. I will rescue them all the time. I will fill them with my Holy Spirit. I will give them joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They will have joy, peace, and they will rest not only on other things, but on the fact that I am the good shepherd. I come from heaven, came from heaven. I know my Father. He loves his own people, and that is why he sent me. And they can betray us. How many love stories that have just finished in courts arenas. How many love stories. But this one single love story goes on to eternity. Goes on to eternity. If you are a believer, this is who you are. You have come to this knowledge. So this is what Jesus is saying. He likened this knowledge to his knowledge of his Father. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Hallelujah. He says that my Father knows me and I know the Father, that he will not leave my body in the grave to decay. I will be raised on the third day victoriously. And the work that my Father has sent me to, we will finish it. That is why when his son was lifted up on the cross of Calvary, the earth, the sun, the day became dark, became night. The sun disappeared in the noonday because the Father was sympathizing with his son. The whole earth was mourning the death of the Son of God. And yet, after that, the brighter light, the life. So this is what Jesus says. He said, my Father, I know him, that we will finish this work. I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. His Father knows him, and that is what the knowledge that Jesus wants us to know about him. He wants us to know him like this, in this way, that he will not forsake us. Because he knows us. He knows when we are not truly sincere with him. He knows whether we truly love him or not. He knows all these things. Or even if you are not, are you willing? Just willingness. Willing to surrender to Christ. And this is what he says. And he is working. He says he got other people. And that is why we shouldn't be really looking to ourselves just only. But perhaps we need to have this attitude of evangelization, world evangelization. Even to the Muslim that you may not like. Because Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep right now. That I have to bring them. God is electing from every tribe and nation, from every so-called religion. How many people who have come from different backgrounds, religious backgrounds? How many? Even religious background doesn't have to be Hinduism, even atheism, absence of God in your life is a religion, isn't it? But Jesus says that my sheep knows my voice and I know them. If I ask you a few questions as a way of finishing, this is Good Friday, isn't it? And the Good Friday today, what you hear about Good Friday, what makes it good? It's because on this day, you can come to Jesus. You can see clearly that Jesus loves you. And he wants to rescue you from your own sin. And I don't have to tell you that you are a sinner. You know if you haven't come to Christ, because the things you are engaged in doing are not pleasing to God. You can know that for yourself. So what makes this day a good Friday is because the Good Shepherd is offering to you his life so that you can live. What makes this day special is because there is a free invitation. One illustration I give to you. I was just in a meeting that was early in my ministry, a small gathering. There was just like a birthday party. My small group, we meet in a house, really secretly, because that place is heavily populated by Muslims. And they didn't want any, that was in Egypt. They didn't want to see Christians. And so I decided to cancel our meeting just to come and sit and pretend that we are celebrating a birthday, a young girl. And young children, there was a music, Christian music, and they were dancing, running around. And there was invited a woman with her two daughters. And she was sitting on the other side. And then I had to give a very short message, Easter message, just like that, with no Bible open. And I said to her, I said, "What Easter could mean to you this day? Easter could mean to you that you rise from your own sin, that you turn your sin to Christ, and you go from this place completely saved." As I said, these tears began to run down from her eyes, and she was saved at that time. And I got up just to pray with her and read the Bible with her, and completely was transformed. She started to walk with the Lord, and then later on her two daughters came to know Jesus Christ. So just simply, Easter means that it's not just like a big thing. Even right now, you can come and confess your sin to Jesus. If you have wandered away and you have been clouded with thoughts, you can also come to the Good Shepherd, who says that, I know your need. I know your need. I have come to rescue you. I have come and I have the power to set you free from any entanglement, from any sin. Two things we need to take out from here. What do we learn about God in these texts? Well, God is committed to his own people. He's committed to his project that he's making for himself a people. Are you one of his people? Are you one of God's people? Can you say, can you declare with all of your heart that I'm one of his sheep? Can you do that? Because God is committed and God has provided the way for us to be his own people. It's nothing that you can do. And the second thing that you need to learn about yourself is because we as sheep, we go astray. See, we were lost without a good shepherd. We were lost and we will always be lost without our shepherd, Jesus. On a daily basis, we need to hear his voice. We need to be closer to him. We need to walk with him, because only when we walk with him, we can guarantee that we will not fight for our own needs. We will not promote our own interests, because he's a selfless shepherd, and those who follow him will be selfless all the time. All the time, because he is selfless all the time. He risked his life there, and now he is our most high priest in heaven, not sleeping, watching over us, the good shepherd, our good, great high priest. So these two things you need to take, and you need to learn about the character of your God, the character of your shepherd. He is good, and there is no other. Is he good to you? Is he the good shepherd? Is Jesus the good shepherd? Or perhaps you can just go and open a clinic, and you write there, the good shepherd, and that's it. Or a school that is called Good Shepherd, you see? Or anything, you can just give it a name like that. But he wants you to know his shepherding. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to know him as he knows his Father. You see, that is the knowledge that we need. Apart from that, we have religion. Apart from that, we have religion. And religion doesn't save. It's not a living relationship. And Christianity is joyful, isn't it? Joyful, joyful, joyful. We sing that during Christmas, isn't it? Are you joyful? Because the good shepherd has saved you. Are you joyful? Are you free? Have you been set free? Unfortunately, many of us today go mourning, like as mourning. When there's nothing against you, actually, you go mourning when there's nothing against you. Does the Bible say that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? But we go always condemning ourselves as if we don't have a good shepherd. Just because other shepherds, they come with their own agendas because they know they are cruel masters. They condemn us to death when the good shepherd died for us so that we may not die again. Not just physically, spiritually, and on daily basis, that we don't harbor wrong thoughts. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Have you come to that knowledge? As I look across, are all of us who are here today saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, destined for glory, hearing his voice, enjoying his word, delighting in his leadership? Or you have other leaders, or you have other people to look to apart from Jesus, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the risen Savior who shed his own blood for you and for me? These three things you need to take home today. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his sheep, life for his sheep. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep knows him. Do you know him? This is what I want you to take. Know him, and you will be saved. Know your Lord. Know your Savior. Let us pray.